I'm excited about being in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some time ago, I heard a preacher step to the pulpit. He made reference to the fact that we were having a sovereign move of God. So I have often wondered exactly what sovereign meant. Anybody know what sovereign means? I just thought it meant great, wonderful, and awesome. And I even made up a word for sovereign. Said, you know what? It just means fantabulous. And that's a cross between fabulous and fantastic. You know, when I began to look at God, He's just everything. So when I heard that there was a sovereign, or he made the statement that there was a sovereign move of God, I went to Brother Webster. And when I don't know what something means, I go to Brother Webster. Amen. And Brother Webster told me that sovereign means supreme in power. Said sovereign means superior to all others. And the third definition of it is it's supremely efficacious. And I said, wow, I knew what all those other words were. Surely I know what efficacious means. Matter of fact, it took me about 15 minutes sitting there, Brother Newman, to even find out how to pronounce efficacious. And don't even ask me how to spell it now. It's right here in front of me. I looked at all the smiley faces and the accents and everything else and the flat lines and lower lines and frown lines and all that on efficacious. And I finally learned how to say it. And then I went to efficacious to find out what it meant. And according to Brother Webster, efficacious means having power adequate to the purpose intended, to bring to pass or to produce. So what David was saying when he said that God is a very present help in time of need is David was saying that God has more than enough power to meet our need. Yeah. Let me tell someone today that's walked inside this building that God has more than enough power to meet your need. It's not going to bankrupt heaven to take care of your situation. To take care of your situation. So whatever you need from God today, you've come to the right place. You need to just reach out and let God meet and supply your needs. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Bible says that He will meet and supply our needs according to His riches in glory. His riches in glory. He's got everything that we could hope for. He's got everything that we could ever need. He's got it. Aren't you thankful today that we're serving a sovereign God? Hallelujah! Let's just lift up our hands and let's magnify Him today. Jesus, we love You. We magnify You today. We lift You up. We give You glory. We give You praise. You're such a great God. You're such a great God. And we love You today. And we exalt Your name. Hallelujah. 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 It is such a privilege and an honor to be back in the house of the Lord again today. And I'm just thankful that when we showed up, that God was already here. Amen. God was waiting. I said He's waiting on us. Amen. If you need something from God today, you've come to the right place. Turning your attention to the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter this morning. The book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. So good to see everyone. The house of the Lord, and I appreciate so much for you putting up with my wife for the last 3 weeks. Maybe I didn't say that right. I appreciate you putting up with me. Amen. Praise God. Good to see our friends, Brother and Sister Smith, back with us today. They're great people. Love them. Appreciate them so very much. Amen. The book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Begin reading a very familiar passage of scripture in verse number 24. If you haven't, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him.
Yeah.
And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Amen. Why don't we lift our hands and our hearts toward the Lord one more time this morning. Let's ask God to reach down and touch. Gracious God, we're so thankful today that we know you. We're thankful today that we're able to call upon the greatest name.
Yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God, that we're serving a great big God. A God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I'm thankful today for your presence that's in this house. I'm thankful today for people of God that walk inside this house to feel you today, God. And I'm asking right now that you bring us together in one mind and one accord. Anoint our ears that we may hear our hearts, that we may receive your word today. Anoint these lips of clay today, God, that they may speak your word. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Turn around to one or two folks before you're seated and let them know how thrilled that you are to see them in the house of God today. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. It doesn't take a lifetime to change things. You find that many things can be changed in just a simple day, just an ordinary day. Matter of fact, you look at the time that we have, the 24 hours in a day, the 1,440 minutes in a day, the 84,200 seconds that we enjoy each day. And you can look and say that that's not a long period of time, and it's not. And you find that so many things can be changed in just that simple, simple day. Can I tell you today that I believe that we're living in a day of major endings, but we're also living in a day of new beginnings. Hello. I said we're living in a day of major endings, but we're also living in a day of new beginnings. You can study history and you can find that just a single day has made such an influence and has made such a difference in people's lives. You find that battle lines have been redrawn in just a single day. You find that wars have been won in just a single day. You find that futures have been changed with the events just of a single day. You find that lives have been changed because of the events of just a single day. Can I preach to us today that today can be the most important day of your life? This morning can be the most important day of your life. When you woke up this morning, God could have had things that is in the making for you, that is in the setting for you, that your whole life can be changed simply by the events of this simple, simple day. You find that people's lives have forever been changed because of the events that happened in just a single day. You know, some people, you have the lottery, and I'm still trying to figure out how in the world to win the lottery. Hold on just a second. Especially when I don't play it. Amen. You know, every time I see one of those big billboards that have 420 million, I tell God, I said, you know, God, the devil's had that long enough. It's about time that you let me try to handle that. Amen. And so I'm still trying to figure out a way of how to win the lottery without actually going down and paying it. I'm hoping that God will just let the wind blow a ticket my way, and I'll just pick it up and put it in my pocket, and one day I'll take it out, and that's the winning number. I don't think it's going to happen that way, but you find that people's lives, you know, they might have gone to bed one night being as poor as Job's turkey, but they woke up the next morning and they had the right numbers. They had the right investment. They had the right things that have happened throughout the course of the night. The right ticket, and you find that they wake up multimillionaires. You know, I remember some time ago when the lottery was just getting started. I remember one of these guys from Missouri, and you know, I'm not picking on nobody from Missouri or Arkansas, any place like that. But you know, I remember getting the newspaper on that particular morning, and they had this guy that had just won something like $120 million from the state of Missouri. And here he is, he's just an old country boy. There's nothing wrong with country boys. I am one. And so I don't mind that. But what was different about this guy, he didn't have a tooth in his head. And he had just won the lottery. And they said, man, what you going to do with $120 million? He said, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to quit my job. I think the first thing I'd done would have been got some teeth. But you find that this guy had a whole new set of values. He had a whole new set of ideas of what was going to take place in his life. You find that others have gone to bed being multi-millionaires, only to wake up the next morning and to find out that because of a bad investment, because of a wrong decision that had been made, that now that they have lost everything that they had. Oh, the difference that just a day can make in the lives of individuals. For 6,000 years, man has been trying to do what God did in just one day. For 6,000 years, man has been trying to build in one day what God just spoke into existence. Psychiatrists and psychologists have tried for years to do what God did with just a simple word. Can I tell you today that the psychiatrist does not have your answer? The psychologist does not have your answer. But I know the one that is walking the aisles of this sanctuary, and he has the answer to whatever we need. That doctors have been trying for years to develop a cure, to somehow develop a certain medicine that would take care of all of our ailments. Can I tell you that doctors have tried it for years, but all it takes is just one simple touch of Jesus, and he can take care of whatever ails you. He can take care of whatever the problem is in your life. He's able to heal whatever disease that you're facing. I'm talking about what my God is able to do. Hallelujah. I said it last Sunday morning. Allow me to to say it again on this Sunday morning. I'm not trying to take away from the deity of God or the majestics of God. But what I want to say today is there's three things that God has never seen. He's never seen a problem he couldn't solve. He's never seen a disease that he couldn't heal. And he's never seen a sinner that he couldn't save. And I believe that God has come back to this service today to do those three things. He's come to solve some problems. He's come to change our life around. He's come to heal some diseases. And he's come to save our soul from the devil's hand. Done more in one night. God can do more in one church service. God can do more in just one moment of time. God can do more in just one touch than what man can do in his lifetime. I'm talking about what my God is able to do. I made mention of them before, probably, but allow me to make mention of them again. I remember back in 2006, God giving us a mighty revival in Macon where we were pastoring. I remember how that people began to come in. God began to change people's lives. I remember the Jack and Nickies I made mention of the other night. I remember the Shorties, which he really wasn't short. He was about 6'6", and he loved to play basketball. I remember some of the others that came in, the Sonnies and the Barbaras. I remember how that God would change their lives around completely. I remember Jan Joel walking into a service on a Sunday morning and God's soul getting a hold of their life that he changed their life around completely. Jan Joel lived in a one-bedroom, a little motel, a run-down Roach Coach motel. It was a drug motel. That's where everybody went to buy their drugs, and they were constantly under surveillance from the police. But I remember Jan and Joel walking in, and they probably didn't smell like you and I smell this morning. They had a different type of odor about them. They didn't look like you and I look. They didn't dress like you and I dress today. But you find that God, throughout the course of that service, began to get a hold of them, and he changed their life around completely. I'm talking about being on cocaine. I'm talking about smoking marijuana. I'm talking about smoking the methamphetamines, shooting the drugs up in their arms and between their toes. But God began to change things around for them. God started something on that Sunday morning I'll never forget. Can I tell you that the state had come in and taken their three children? Within 3 months, they had their three children back. Within 3 months, they had two trucks and a car. He had a boat. They lived in a five-bedroom house because of what God had done in their life. Let me preach to somebody today. There's no problem that's too big for God to help you with. There's no mountain that's too high that God can't help you. There's no valley that's too wide that God can't make a way across. There's no river that's too deep that God's not able to help you cross it. There's no situation that's too desperate that God's not able to help you in that situation. Let's clap our hands and a hymn and magnify him this morning. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm talking about the difference that God can make in your life. I'm talking about the difference that God can make in your life. Hallelujah. He can do it. I said he can do it. I said he can do it. God has the answers to every need that we could ever have. David said, he's a very present help. That means he's immediately available. He's immediately available. He's a very present help. And just in case you're wondering this morning, I believe the God of heaven that's walking the aisles of this sanctuary right now will do whatever is necessary to meet your need. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? I said, I believe that God will do whatever is necessary to meet your need. God can change the events. God can change the inevitable. God can change what may seem like just a distant dream of yours. God can change it around in just a moment of time. God can change who we are. Hello? He can change what we are. He can change what we have made out of our lives. He can change it around. You find that the night of the Passover, that Israel, children of Israel, they had gone to bed as being bound. But when they woke up the next morning, they were free. They might have went to bed as being a loser. But when they woke up the next morning, they were winners. They might have gone to bed on the night before having been overcome. But when they woke up the next morning, they were overcomers. I'm talking today about the difference that just a few moments with Jesus can do in your life. I'm talking about what God can take care of in just a few moments of time. Just a few moments of time. You find in the Word of God a man by the name of Jacob. It's the story that we read in your hearing this morning. The Bible tells us the type of person that Jacob really, really was. His very name denoted his character. He was named as being a conniver. He was named as being a liar, a thief, a supplanter. And you find that all of his life he had to live under the heading or underneath the everybody's philosophy and idea of who and what he was. When they looked at Jacob, they said, oh, he's the conniver. They looked at Jacob, they said, oh, he's the thief. When they looked at Jacob, they said, oh, that's the liar. That's the liar. His reputation seemed to precede him wherever he would go. It seemed as if everybody already had a preconceived idea of who and what Jacob was even before they met him. You find that in his younger years that here he had gone and he had lied to obtain the birthright and the blessing that was rightfully Esau's, his brother's. He had lied to obtain it. And you find that he had left home on the run. And his brother had said, the next time that I see Jacob, the next time I see that old conniver, the next time that I see that thief and that liar and that supplanter, I'm going to have my vengeance upon him. I'm going to take his life. And Jacob did not like the fact that he was labeled with these labels. He didn't like the fact of people's opinion about him. And all the times that I'm sure that Jacob would say, I wish that I could change some things about my life. Let me ask you today, has there ever just been some things that you would like to have changed? Oh, yeah. Hello? Yeah. Any, any, anybody, anything that people, that you thought that people thought about you, that you would like to just change. You didn't like people looking at you and saying, "Oh, I know who that is. Oh, his reputation precedes him. I know." Don't you dare shake his hand. Don't you dare turn your back on him. Hello. You know, many of us perhaps had those reputations when we came to God, and we didn't like who we were. We didn't like what we were. We didn't like what people thought that we were. We didn't like people's preconceived ideas of who and what we were. And you find that the Bible tells us that Jacob has finally made up his mind that he's going back home. He's going back to the place of his roots. He wants to go back and see his brother. He wants to go back to the place that he was born. And the Bible tells us that this night that Jacob sent everything that he had on before him. Tomorrow I'm going to meet my brother. Tomorrow I'm going to come face to face with the one that said the next time that he saw me, he was going to take my life from me because of the evil deeds and the evil things that I have done to him. God, I need your help. And the Bible says that Jacob was left alone. Let me preach this morning that sometimes we've got to be left alone in order to change us and to change our situation. I'm not talking about there not being anybody around us. I'm talking about us shutting ourselves in with just us and God and saying, "God, I don't like who I am. I don't like what I've been doing. I don't like the life that I've been living. I need you to change me. I need you to allow something to get a hold of me, God, because I'm not satisfied with where I'm at."
That's good. That's
the Bible
good.
Tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared on scene, and he began to wrestle with Jacob. Jacob had such a determination in his mind. "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Angel of the Lord, I know who you are. And I know that you got some promises for me. And I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. I've got to have something from God." Can I tell you that I have walked in the house of God at times that I needed something from God, Brother Newman? That I was so desperate with God. I said, "God, I've got to have something from you before I leave this place. I don't want to leave this place the same way I walked in. But somehow, God, I want my life to be changed. I want my outlook on things to be changed." Can I tell you this morning that God can take your negative attitude and he can change it into a positive attitude? Hello? God can take the things that you look like or you look at and say, "They'll never help me out." And God can change them around and cause them to feed you. The very thing that the enemy has sent to destroy you with. I'm talking about God can come into your situation and he can turn things around for you. He wrestled the angel of the Lord. He said, "Let me go." The angel of the Lord said, "I'm not going to let you go." Or the angel of the Lord said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Until you bless me. I've got to get something from you right now." He was wrestling. The angel of the Lord saw that he prevailed on his Jacob. So he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the Bible says that the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. What does that mean, preacher? That means from that moment forward that there was a different way that Jacob walked. Yes, sir. He didn't walk the same way he used to walk.
Right.
Hello? But you find when you've seen old Jacob now, old Jacob was walking with a limp. Jacob, what happened to you? I noticed that when you left here that you didn't have that limp, but what happened? What happened to you, Jacob? And I believe that old Jacob would look back at them and say, oh, there was something that happened to me that day. I went to God and I was desperate for some things from God. I was desperate for God to move in my life. And because I was desperate, something happened to me that day. I know I don't walk like I used to walk. Let me tell you, I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't act like I used to act. But there's been a transformation. There's been a transformation. There's been a renewing of the mind.